know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, everybody. Happy July 6th, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR, driven by Liberty Ford. Back in the seat today, Jim Donovan, but happy to have, first of all, a living, breathing soul across the table from me, as I was the only person here in Berea last week. Not only in this studio, Matt Wilhelm.
In the building.
In the building. And I proclaimed to everybody that I had owned the Browns and made another uniform change.
Did you?
Yeah, I announced another uniform change.
And what was that?
I tweaked the orange a little
bit. Did you?
Yeah.
Darker? Sharper?
I don't know.
Neon?
I don't know what it was. Flatter.
Jim
Donovan with you. Matt Wilhelm is back. And he is back off a Mexican retreat.
I am.
How about that? On the 4th of July, you're down in Mexico.
I was. Yeah, it was a planned vacation for my wife and my two kids to go down to Mexico. So I had this on the calendar months in advance. My daughter turned one on July 1st.
Happy birthday
to her.
So
she's five now, so happy birthday to her. And some well-needed time away, as you can see.
Sure.
I got a nice tan.
Yeah.
But margaritas and pool and all-inclusive did not disappoint, that's for sure.
So, Nathan is off this week.
He is.
Matt is in all week. I'm here with Matt again tomorrow.
Correct.
And then the rest of the week will play out. Then Nathan will be here and
We're staggering our weeks.
Vacations. And you guys deserve to do that because, you know, during the season and all throughout then, the various seasons of the NFL, the business season, the free agent season, the draft season, I mean, you guys are keeping the show going, you know, 5 days a week. And then all of a sudden it comes to a point where, you know, the coaches and players are out of here after minicamp and you guys need to get off. And then back we go to the grind. And it is a grind. I was just listening to Jay Gruden, the head coach of the Redskins,
yes,
getting ready for his second year in Washington after a tough first year, 4-12. And he was on vacation and he said, they asked him, do you actually go on vacation, coach? Do you actually, you know, not do anything football-wise? And he said, well, you know, I have to be honest with you. I do sneak an iPad with me, and I'm watching tape. And these guys, but he said, you know, it's not as consuming as it is once camp starts. Because once camp starts, he said, it is the most intense grind that you can imagine. And a lot of coaching staffs try and do it a different way, you know, to reduce hours maybe near the end of the week to make sure the staff gets home and has dinner with their family like on a Friday.
Sure.
Or something like that. But these guys are really creatures of the office.
They are.
The tape room, the iPad now, and 24-7? 24-7, isn't it?
It is really close to 24-7. Yeah. And I just recall Greg Minuski, who's now the defensive coordinator with the Indianapolis Colts. He was my position linebacker coach out in my years in San Diego. And for him, even as a coach, he would bring an air mattress to the office because
right.
he knew there were days
right.
where he would not go home and see his children. And especially once the season got there, because he took pride in, like many other assistant coaches, so I'm just identifying him, they want to watch and overanalyze as much as they can and mm-hmm. dummy everything down so
right.
that they can put in the hours so that essentially the players don't have to. And they give them every single day. He'd come in with a handout and go, this is what I saw. This is the synopsis. So we'd give us, you know, 10% of having to see the full 100.
Okay, we have Ohio Business Machine hot topics today. And I don't know how to do Twitter. So, and we just got a message to tweet us at what?
At Browns_daily.
And that's how you say that.
At Browns
at
underscore
Browns
daily.
Underscore daily.
Correct.
Now, last week, when I was here on the show, we had a great amount of phone calls and a lot of phone calls.
Great.
And we were talking about, I asked the listeners out there that during the season, regular season, when the Browns win a game, what is it going to look like when they win? Is it going to be a defensive game? Is it going to be a low-scoring game? Is it going to be a game that is going to be played very quickly because we're going to run the ball, keep the clock going? Are we going to grind it out? You know, give me a
sure.
score, but give me a visual on how it's going to look.
I
want to ask a question
sure.
today. Go ahead. Do you want to? How will the game look to you?
I think that
if they win, though, they're taking a knee on the last play of the game, and then the quarterback, McCowan, stands up, holds the ball up to the crowd, and that's it.
And I think it's good that the score
how will it look?
24 points or less, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So 24-21 victories, 24-21-17.
Right.
It's going to look like that. I think offensively, it's going to be around 60 plays for the offense.
Okay.
You know, but I think the onus is going to be on the defense to go get those stops to be able to play very, very well in the red zone. But I don't necessarily think it's going to be a fast clock, because I think that early in the season it may be. But I know that John DeFilippo wants that full-on evolution to be, like most offensive coordinators, as close to 50-50 as possible.
Okay.
So, yes, we're going to play great defense, and we're going to be able to get off the field on third down, which gives our offense many more opportunities.
So there were two games last year that were completely on the other end of the spectrum, okay? They won a game in Cincinnati on the Thursday night game, which might have been their signature win of the
yes.
year. Okay. They won that game in Cincinnati, and they ran the ball 55
yes.
times, I believe, in that game. And they won the game. They lost the game here against Houston, which might have come right after that, I think. They, you know, they had a bye week. They were had a long week, not a bye week, but they had a long week. And then they waited for the Houston game, which was a huge game at
it
the
was.
Time. And they threw the ball 50 times
yeah.
in that game. So you can see how in one area, when they ran it effectively, they won.
Sure.
When they had to throw it as much as they did, and I don't care who you are, whether you're the Cleveland Browns or the Green Bay Packers, you probably don't want to be throwing the
you
ball
don't.
50 times. And I think Hoyer was 20 for 50 in that game.
He was. Yep. And, you know, the recipe to help a statistic like that is to run the ball well on first down. So, yes, we have to run the football, and we'd love to be able to, you know, give and take, first down, second down, run, to have the defense kind of reeling. But to put us in a situation where we're at second and five or second and four mm-hmm. because you've got a 5 or 6 yard run or play on first down, that way you don't have to have those run-run scenarios that I thought we got into many times. You know, run for 2 yards, run for no game,
right.
and we're in third and eight. It was just very difficult for the playmakers we had on the field last year, as well as Brian Hoyer starting his first games, to be constantly with his back up against a wall, having to throw into a defense that know they can pin their ears back
right.
and put pressure on him, and or play great coverage on the wide receivers that we had working for Brian Hoyer, forcing them to get 8 yards every third down over and over again. So alleviating that is going to be huge for this offense.
So the telephone number is 216-578-0850. But I want to ask people today, and I'll begin with you, and then I hope people call us up at 216-578-0850. How important is it to you, the fans out there, and to you, Matt, and I'll give you my opinion, how important is it for the Browns to win in the preseason? And I have some interesting thoughts and some examples about that.
Sure.
So last year, now let's remember this. I'm going to recount last year. They ended up, I think they went, I know they went, 1-3, okay? They opened up in Detroit. It was the big unveiling of Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
It was on NFL Network. It was the most watched preseason game in NFL history.
That's crazy.
Across the nation. Okay. They were winning the game right up until the last minute, and they lost the game on a touchdown pass in the left corner of the end zone. They're 0-1. They come out the next Monday night, then they play the Redskins on national TV, and they did not play well. The number one offense did not play well. Brian Hoyer had a tough game. Manziel had an even worse game. They almost tied the game up and won the game at the end on
right.
a Hail Mary by
yep.
Connor Shaw, and they missed the two-point conversion. Now they're 0-2. But then the third game is the most important game, true?
It is,
okay.
correct.
It's the dress rehearsal, and they come home and they play the Rams, and they were awful, okay?
Yep.
I thought they were awful.
They were.
Okay. And now I'm saying to myself, who the heck is the quarterback? All right. I mean, is he here? Is
right.
the quarterback even here
sure.
right now? All right. So now you're really worried. You're 0-3, and you know 5 days later you're going in to play your fourth preseason game, and you don't want to play anybody, and the Bears don't want to play anybody. And are you really now ready for the Steelers coming up? So I want to know from you, how important is it for a team now, let's take the Browns, who have had a lot of losing seasons since coming back in 1999. My theory is it's not bad to learn how to win, even if the game doesn't count.
I agree with that 100%. And as we've seen in years past, and I'm not saying this is true of the Cleveland Browns last year or this year, there are teams like the Colts when they sat Peyton Manning that had no problem going 0-4 because
right.
they were resting their starters, you know, a significant portion of the time.
And the Patriots are historic for that.
Absolutely. Adrian Peterson gets only a few rushes in the preseason, but then
you.
Is able to run for, you know, close to 2,000 yards every year. But that's not our situation. And I think you're 50% right where this team needs to learn how to finish in any regards, whether it's finish a practice, finish a preseason game, because all those finishing mentalities or making that big play or taking that momentous step
mm-hmm.
to close
yeah.
a game or a practice in strong fashion can only help down the road as it becomes the real thing.
Because how many games, not only last year, but certainly the year before, when they had leads, I think five consecutive games, they had leads in the fourth quarter,
yep.
and they could not finish
Correct.
The game, and they didn't know how to do it. And I think that if you learn how to do something, you know, muscle memory and golf
yes.
and things like that, and shooting three-pointers and shooting free throws and doing things in football, if you learn how to do things playing football out on the practice field, then why not carry it out onto the field
Jim,
in a preseason game?
You're completely right. It's the the euphoric feel that you have after a win.
Mm-hmm.
You want the competitors want to repeat that over and over again, to have that feeling of camaraderie, self-worth to both themselves, their fan base, their family, their teammates,
right?
Because you get positive reinforcement. But I think in some cases, and I'm not saying specifically it happening here in Cleveland, but for in professional sports, I think unlike any other platform that's out there, you can get comfortable being average because that check continues to come every other week or every week, however
right.
in which you're paid. And that's your personal gratification that, well, I did good because I
right.
get this check. Whereas the great teams and the great competitors that are out there buy into the 53 and it's bigger than me. And they just can't put their head out on a pillow. And that's a lot of the reason why the coaches spend the hours that they do. They can't put their head down on a pillow unless they feel like they've done everything possible to give them and their team an opportunity to win.
Well, I could not put my head down on the pillow after they played three preseason games last year because I thought they looked terrible in the third preseason game,
this
which
is
the dress rehearsal game.
It is.
And you've got the Steelers in about 10 days or
right.
Whatever it is. And you got to play them over there. And I would just be more comfortable. Now, I am not saying that I want Joe Thomas in the fourth quarter of a preseason
right.
game. But I would love to see a little bit more intent
yes.
on let's finish the thing and let's win the thing and get a little taste of victory around here. And I think you're going to like the taste of it.
You're right about that. But the very difficult thing is, and we may in fact have it this year, is to have a very balanced, competitive 1-53, which is what I know Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine are striving for. And the reason
right.
why they say that is because the philosophy of a preseason game is broken up into sections by game. And why I say that is the ones get their time in the first preseason game,
mm-hmm.
and then it's
yeah.
Twos for the second and third quarter, and
right.
then your threes or fours essentially in the fourth quarter. And that philosophy changes. For me personally, without essentially capturing a win, if I feel like our ones go out there and move the football
True.
Or get off the field
True.
And Andy Lease booming the ball when
Right.
given an opportunity, pinning them deep, and I'm seeing winning football out Mm-hmm. of our ones and we don't win the football game,
Right.
I'm okay. But like you said, you've got to use that step from week one in that one quarter of football and saying, okay, I want to see a half of something of what that just
Absolutely.
Looked like.
No, I'm totally with
yeah,
you on
to
that.
The point
Yeah.
where you get to that dress rehearsal and you go, that's a winning football team.
Okay.
Whether they win the game or not,
mm-hmm.
You don't really, in some cases, the players don't care because a lot of the starters, if they played well and they scored points, got off the field, didn't turn the ball over and got
didn't
first
get,
down,
and didn't get
they
hurt.
Go,
didn't get
we
hurt.
Did our part.
Absolutely.
We did everything.
Yep.
We're confident in who we are, but, our twos and threes might have, fell apart for whatever reason.
Right.
And you didn't win the football game.
Yeah. It just troubles me, and it has troubled me, and I know it's a tricky thing. I mean, I remember the time Ross Verba got hurt in the fourth preseason game. Now, he was their left tackle at the time, and they were playing Kelly Holcomb
Ross, yeah.
at quarterback, and they were getting set, and I forget. Oh, they were opening up against Indianapolis and Peyton Manning, and, they thought they had a pretty good offense coming into that season, and now in the last preseason game, Butch Davis got a little greedy, and he kept the number one offensive line in because he wanted to give Holcomb a good feeling
yeah.
before he went into the Indianapolis game, and Verba tore his ACL. Now, that's a Thursday night, okay, and you're making your final cuts. On Friday morning, okay, it's tough enough making the cuts. It's even almost impossible to go out and say, now I got to find a starting left tackle.
Exactly. But you know what, Jim, to that point, and I'm not saying it's smart to do that, but that's why the pick of a guy like Cam Irving at 19th overall
right.
and his flexibility for what he'll be able to do from an offensive line perspective is so huge.
Uh-huh.
Where the Browns fan who was looking for the receiver, the run, the star running, whatever it was they were looking for, most likely receiver, you know, at one of those first two picks and might have been disappointed, is that's going to be huge to have a guy like him, or allow a former starter, say in John Greco, if Cam Irving does back him up, to be waiting in the wings to just shift around that offensive line, and you don't skip a beat, because we saw what it could happen, as you mentioned, with Verba, and we definitely saw what happened last year with Alex Mack.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there were two examples of two coaches that were going up against the Browns, and they were in their first years against the Browns, okay? 1999, Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and it is not going well, and the Eagles have lost every game in the preseason and not played well, and it was their last preseason game, and already the Philadelphia media, imagine, was on his tail and saying, hey, we hired this. Who's this overweight guy buffoon that we hired? He's this buffoon, and we can't even win in the preseason. And they played the Browns, and he kept his starters in the fourth preseason game for an extended period of time and won because he felt it was important to win.
Sure.
John Fox did the same thing against the Browns. I think in his first year in Carolina, the team was having a horrible preseason, and he brought his starters back in to start the second half of a game, and he brought them back in because he said, I have to teach them how to win. I think the team before that had only won about one or two games.
Yeah, early.
Yeah, before that. And so George Seifert, I believe, right?
Yes.
In his last years in Carolina, and he needed to teach them how to win. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying I want to see Alex Mack in the game late in a preseason game. But I would like to see earlier in the game, let's push it and win it.
Yes.
And then hopefully our young guys will get a taste of it, and they'll push it and win it too.
Exactly. And I know we're going to go to break here, but I think the biggest key for me is to see, I want to see the template that I see out of other winning organizations.
Right.
I want to see Green Bay Packer type football being played by our starters, because that in some cases is the picture that I want to see week one in New York.
Okay. We'll take a break, as Matt's alluded to, and we are just getting started here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Telephone number 216-578-0850. Back with more after this. If we bridge this.